Welcome to La Liga Weekly. I've got to check, have you done your homework? If you haven't seen Arda Güler's goal, press pause, watch it and come back. Maybe restart the pod and watch the adverts again. I could do with another 0.0004 pence. Anyway, the point is, watch Arda Güler's goal. We've been waiting 15 years for someone in La Liga to score from their own half. I researched that on Google AI, which also told me that Endrick's in the squad for the Manchester City game. It's good to know the future of the world is in safe hands. I also read that Real Madrid are enjoying a youth revolution under Álvaro Arbeloa, which could be rephrased as the guy they appointed when they sacked Xabi Alonso without a plan now has an injury crisis, but the kids have done okay in the last few games. I hate to be cynical, but it's easier to write the intro that way. FC Barcelona have also secured their future with the re-election of Joan Laporta. Even a cynic has to accept he's done a good job of filling a horrible, intimidating crater that seemed like it would go on forever. Maybe he could come to Oxfordshire and have a look at the potholes. That, Terry, is political satire.
Topical.
We'll try to unpick the Alexander Sorloth versus Getafe situation. Lovely boys that Bordalas has there. We've got another round of our popular game show, Spain versus England in the Champions League. I need to know which is the Farmers League and which is the best in the world. Can resurgent Tottenham finish the job against Atletico Madrid? I thought Real Madrid were going to finish eighth in the Premier League, so I'm confused that they beat Manchester City, although Newcastle are ninth and they might beat Barca. Perhaps punditry is that simple. And here's a cliffhanger from the rest of our La Liga coverage. Did Elche and or Espanyol get their first victory for 2026?
I'm going to be harsh big time on Elche, but save that.
Yes, there we are. There's another teaser, everybody. right. Where do we start? I've printed that twice. Don't need that.
Do we start? Yeah.
Arda Güler. Let's start with Arda Güler, shall we?
So, yes.
And Real Madrid. So a 4-1 win over Elche. Okay, you're going to be harsh about them, but a 74-yard, 68-metre goal. So the joint longest ever. That would mean a goalkeeper's never scored, I guess, from kicking it from his hands.
I guess so. Yeah.
Sure. There we are. I haven't done this research myself properly. But apparently 15 years, I can't remember someone scoring from their own half.
No, I can't.
Not just inside his own half. He's miles inside his own half.
Yeah. It was one of those on the replay, because I was working on the game. You know he's hit it from long range.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at the goalkeeper's attempt to save it.
It's like a scarecrow trying to flap birds away.
Facing the ball, so he just throws his arms up in the air in the hope that it hits it.
He's flapping his arms.
Shit. he's hit it and he's running back to goal. He's now got his back to the ball and he's just throwing his arms up in the air in the hope that it might touch his arms if he's anywhere near it.
Yeah.
And then the dilemma then is it going to hit the ground and bounce over or go in the goal, and it hits the ground and goes in. It was a fabulous goal. I long for the days where I could kick the ball that far.
I still think
I can control the ball. I knock around with my grandson, he's nine now, and you're knocking around and doing the drag backs and you're teaching him the Cruyff turn, all the old school stuff. He's looking at me, Cruyff, he's nine. you try to kick the ball a bit further and you go, how did I think
playing football now, I think I'd probably rupture something, wouldn't it, if I tried to kick it properly hard now.
Your quads are gone, and I used the gym, and I go down the gym and I do stuff, but trying to kick a ball. So I really miss those days when I could ping a ball across one side of the pitch to the other with minimal effort. And it just goes to show Arda Güler is a fabulous footballer. It's not just the technique, it's the having the vision. And do you know what? He was sitting on the bench, or he's sitting watching the game, and he's thinking, keeper's off his line. I'm watching the game on the bench as a sub, and he's thinking, if I get on the keeper, then I've come off his line. I'm pretty sure that's how he would have seen it, and I'm pretty sure it wouldn't have been done in the prep, because he's on the bench, the prep, whether it'd been mentioned or not. But just, sometimes we mind about subs, they're sitting on the bench, they don't watch the game. Come on, they haven't got a clue what they're doing. He must have seen that, spotted that, and had the ability to do it. It's a hell of a strike, hell of a goal.
Yeah. And other good goals were, and Rudiger's was a nice finish, wasn't it? Volley.
It was.
Yeah. Valverde, another one in the top corner after his heroics in the Champions League. So, and a third straight win for Real Madrid. I say this all the time, a results business. It's amazing, isn't it? You win a few games and the narrative changes.
Yeah, I mean, we're coming off the back of just over a week ago when they lose to Hetafe, then they beat Celta, they beat Manchester City, they make easy work of beating Elche. And when I say I was going to be critical of Elche, I'd be critical of the manager when we discuss them and their streak of games, 11 now without winning a game, playing really good football to start the season. But they came up against it's a severely weakened Real Madrid team. I mean, it was Courtois in goal. Danny Carvajal started at right back, which was pleasing for him, I would imagine. And he played exactly as you would imagine Danny Carvajal to play. He looks fit and healthy now. They started with Rudiger and Housen, Fran Garcia. So it's a recognisable back four. There's nothing there. I mean, despite all the injuries that they have, Fede Valverde, Tchouaméni, Thiago Pitar, who's been playing lately and been playing really well, Camavinga. So that, again, despite the injuries, a recognisable midfield quartet, Vinicius and Brahim Diaz leading the attack. So 11 starters, apart from Pitar, are all recognisable. And probably are too good, even with those players missing, to beat Elche. But they ended up with Arbeloa just putting on young player after young player after young player. And when Manuel Angel was unfortunately after one of the subs to score the own goal at 3-1, there was 85 minutes left. There was 10 minutes. It was probably about, we all recognise, added on time now, there's probably over 10 minutes of play left. And at that stage, Arbeloa had taken off all the first teamers. So it was, there was six young players involved in the team. So Cesar Palacios, Diego Aguado, Manuel Angel, Daniel Yanez, an 18-year-old right winger, come on. Gonzalo Garcia came on, and Thiago Pitarch had started the game. And I called, I said, it's not a consolation, this. It's 3-1. There's over 10 minutes of football left. And Arbeloa has gone heavy on bringing on all the young players. He obviously has faith in them and is trusting them. At 3-0, he probably thought it's safe to do it now. It's his unique selling point, isn't it? In terms of he can do that. That's different. So if he thinks that impresses Florentino Perez, which I don't think it will. I think Florentino Perez historically is more aligned to superstar
They
footballers.
haven't done it, have they? There's been
No.
the odd one come through, but
Yeah.
for considering that they must get some brilliant young players, and there are
Oh,
loads of
totally.
young players who play for other clubs who came through Real Madrid. They haven't
Yeah.
got a great record of doing this, have they, at all?
No. So, but I think Arbeloa sees that as his unique selling point, which is fair enough to do that. And he trusts those youngsters. He knows them. He's only known them for 6 months, to be honest. I mean, it's not as if he's had them for 3 or 4 years. But he obviously knows the players, the younger players in the system. So I get why he's doing it. I just thought it was a risk to take until Arda Güler smashes one home from 68 meters, and that eases the. It could have been an uncomfortable last 10 minutes if Elche had any balls about them. That's the topic of the week,
Yeah, so
and
go
they
on.
haven't. And Eder
Right.
Sarabia is to blame.
Right, okay, go on.
Well, he said in these pre-match interviews, we're going to emulate Hetafe with their plan when they won at Real Madrid. And I'm thinking, Elche, not Hetafe. They're the most opposite team to Hetafe. Hetafe went there with a plan. The only recognisable link was the system of 5-4-1. That was the only thing that he copied from Hetafe. Hetafe didn't play the ball out the penalty box into that. They Elche were taking like six or seven passes to get across the halfway line. They actually ended the game with more possession than Real Madrid. And I just thought it's so self-indulgent when a manager does that. When you're on a streak of 10 games without a win, you're sliding down the table, you go to Real Madrid and you and are playing a style of football where you're going to have to work really hard. Again, play it was square pegs in round holes, players were swapping positions. It was so complicated. And if you're going there as Elche in the system in the position they find themselves in, and playing against the Real Madrid team, although the 11 at the started are recognisable, it's not the strongest Real Madrid. And Elche just, but they couldn't, Real Madrid couldn't have had better opponents going into the game against Manchester City. And it was, I look at Elche now and I think with him in charge, they're going down. We do get these coaches that are self-indulgent, where it's all about the style. They'll get me another job. And that's who I'm putting the blame on with Elche. To have six young players, some of them making their debuts, almost was taking the piss from Arbeloa, and Elche didn't lay a glove on them. And you're looking at these young players running around, and I was really, as you can tell, it irritated me that a team that are scrapping for their lives at the bottom of the table, and it's quite a current theme with me at the moment, or I feel better today after yesterday's result from Spurs. But you want to see that some, it's almost like a casual approach, and their position has taken the manager by surprise, and he's now asking bang average players who were playing well and have shown good signs this season. He's asking them to play totally unrealistic football away from home against Real Madrid, and he didn't give them a chance whatsoever.
We've gone off that a bit, haven't we, this season? There's been a little bit more pragmatic. Well, that's all that you and I in these recent years have asked for, isn't it? We're not, not neither of City and advocate just hoof the ball at the pitch and fight for
Oh, of course
seconds.
not.
But there is a time, isn't there? And you and I don't think you can have I don't think you can have a pure philosophy. You can in life, but you can't in football. Because you've got to win games, haven't you? So that you've got to have other ways of playing. And you've got to know that you're going away to Real Madrid, and you can't just approach it in the same way as if you're playing some lower division club in the Copa del Rey.
I mean, they always play with two up front, but he went with one up front in this game. And then the rest of the players, it was we get given the team sheets. We've got an idea because we work on the league, and we know how they play, where this player plays, where this player plays, and they're all playing in different positions. And all the way through the game, they're finger pointing at each other, and they're telling each other, "You should be there." No, I'm. It was just, it was a sackable game in my opinion. If I was owning Elche and looking at Elche's future, now they're in the bottom three, and they're on this 11-game run without a win, and then they play like that, then I would be looking at it and thinking, do you know what? We've got some tricky games coming up that we could win. Are we going to allow the manager the next games of Mallorca at home, Rayo away, Valencia at home? Now, do you trust him for those three? I get why they would. He got them promotion. First half of the season, they were fabulous. But now, at this moment in time, he's not the first. There's other managers in other leagues. We've had him in England,
Oh,
where,
Russell Martin, the classic case of this, isn't it?
They believe that that's going to get them job after job after job, and then suddenly the phone stops ringing because they've done it two or three times, and people can't trust them. And they always think they're looking for the next better opportunity by playing a certain style of football. And I think Edis Arabia has fallen into that trap. And he looks quite convivial after the game. I'm thinking, well, you've had your backside kicked by a bunch of kids at the end.
But then like you said, these 3 6 points, they've got 3 6 pointers, and then they've got Atleti, and then hang on, then Oviedo away. And then Celta, then Alaves. It's an extraordinary run of games, isn't it? And Girona
And the
last
way the
game.
results went at the weekend as well, it's tightened it all up again. One or two teams I thought were going to be safe, now they're back in it again. And that's going to continue while we have these 6-pointers. But Real Madrid couldn't have asked for a better fixture between the two Manchester City games than obliging Elche, who didn't lay a glove on them for 90 minutes.
So we discussed the Real Madrid, all the Champions League games with the Patreons last week. Quick summary or quick prediction: 3-0 enough. City didn't play particularly well at the
Yeah,
weekend.
I don't see a lot of City, but what I have seen recently is they're not the City with Kevin De Bruyne in, and they're not at the moment. Now, whether they're in transition, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of them. Every time I watch City this season, I always expect better. Maybe that's unfair because of their recent history, how good they've been. Yeah, I think it's doable. I mean, it's tough. I mean, if Vinicius tucked away the penalty at four, then I think it's done. But as we saw recently with Atleti being 4-0 up against Barcelona, and Barcelona getting three goals back and nearly pulling off the comeback, if City get an early goal, I don't know who's going to be fit and ready for the second leg. I'm surprised they're talking about Mbappe being ready.
Yeah, and
I
Bellingham.
can't see him starting.
Yeah.
I expected, having read the news this week about them both being hoping to be fit for City, I expected them both to be involved on Saturday. And 10, 15 minutes, if they're fit, would have been ideal against Elche. But they weren't. We saw them both sitting in the stand. And I imagine if they're going to be in the squad, they'll be on the bench. I can't see how you can run the risk of starting them.
Right, shall we move on to Barcelona? Very good day for Jean Laporta, wasn't it? So a 5-2 win against Sevilla with a hat-trick by Rafinha. Oh, Rafinha, I think we're contractually obliged to say. Because I speak with a Brazilian accent now. So Rafinha got a hat-trick. And Jean Laporta won his election, which was no surprise, Terry, given that we discussed. Must be, it's done that time. We're old men because 5 years seems to have gone by in the blink of an
Really
eye.
quick, yeah.
So, that they had all sorts of holes and problems, and
A
you know,
mess.
and we were thinking, oh, they're going to survive on free transfers for years. It's going to be a struggle. His approach, it was bold. He's mortgaged the future a bit, but it was very, very clear plan, wasn't it? That we're Barcelona, we need to be winning stuff, and then in a sense we'll grow our way out of these financial problems.
With the stadium, that's going to be key, isn't it? It looked better at the weekend, didn't it? As soon as it came on, oh, well, that looks better now. We've an extra 20,000 people in. So it's now up to 60,000. It looks all the way round. It's full. It's just the top tier now. And that's where the money's going to come rolling back in. He inherited a mess. There's no doubt about that. And like any president at Barcelona, if you win trophies and you make the right decisions on the football field, people tend to forget everything else. So people love Hansi Flick. The Barcelona fans love Hansi Flick. He made that choice, Laporta. They've won lots of trophies. I thought it was inevitable that he was going to win. And that if they hadn't won trophies and they were better off financially, he wouldn't win. So it's all down if you are successful winning trophies that people will overlook how you got there. And he's had to work hard to the club have had to work hard to. I mean, it's been. I mean, look, when they spent 25 million last summer on Joan Garcia, that was it. Rashford on loan, Rudy Bargy for a couple of million. And that's been going on for a while now. We don't even speculate anymore that I still believe Erling Haaland will go to Spain at some stage and play for either Real Madrid or Barcelona. I just think he's young enough. It's something he's going to have to do. I can't see him spending all his career at City. But we've never considered that City could get Haaland. Barcelona could get Haaland, sorry. In the circuit, and that's out the question. And it talked about other players coming into the club, and we all go, no, they can't. They're not going to be able to do that. They can't spend, this money on that player. So, but things will improve. And as I say, it's all down to winning trophies on the pitch. The fact they've been forced into own this 5-year period. I mean, I remember in that 5 years, it must have been Luke de Jong must have been. But at that period, when Koeman was manager and Ferran Juker, who scored at the weekend for Celta, they were playing up front and stuff like that. And so the transformation under Laporta is remarkable, to be honest.
Well, let's have a look. So March 2021. So I don't know when his
I've said
election.
many a times, I went to the game against Granada. Ronald Koeman was manager. It was just after COVID. We were coming out of the back of COVID. They were only allowed a certain amount in, and only half the amount turned up because it was raining on a Monday night. Granada were 1-0 up. There was 10, 15 minutes to go, and it was Luke de Jong, Araujo, and Pique were up front. And they were pilots slinging the ball in the box from everywhere. And the crowd went mad when Araujo got an equaliser.
So
And it was
when
pouring
was
down with
that?
rain. The stadium was a joke, it was flooded. It was awful. And I remember sitting there at night thinking, this is a crisis for Barcelona.
So was that the 21-22 season?
It must have been.
So the season after. So we'll see if I can find that game.
So it really got bad. And I think Xavi came in, didn't he?
Oh, right. So,
And got them into Champions League.
So Monday, the 20th of September, Terry, this game was. There were 2-0. There were 2 minutes they went behind. So the Barcelona team was Ter Stegen, Dest, Araujo, Eric Garcia, Balde, Busquets, Coutinho, Sergio Roberto, De Jong, Depay, and then Demir. And So we're like, oh, PK was on the bench, Longley, Umtiti, Ricky Pooj, Armin Gaeser. Luke de Jong came on at half time. So there we
Yeah.
are.
And they ended up with three big lads up front pumping it into the box, and it worked. And I remember the state of the stadium, the state of the team, half the supporters that could have gone turned didn't turn up. I thought this is a crisis, and it was. And then Xavi came in. They qualified for the Champions League, won the league the next year, and so that's the reason Laporta's kept his job.
And the other thing that we haven't talked about young players for Real Madrid, the young players have fueled
Yeah,
this, haven't they? The you know
totally.
the fact that they've been able to like oh we've got a midfield crisis, let's whistle up some kid who comes in.
Gavi, we bought Pedri cheap. Yep, Bernal, Casado has done his job. Cubarsí, it's been a blessing for Barcelona in some ways, because prior to that they were buying Coutinho and I was going to chuck Dembélé into that, but he's turned out to be a fantastic player. But they were buying other players, that probably at the detriment of the younger ones coming through.
Yeah, you could probably point to the whole Coutinho saga where they chased him and Liverpool kept saying, oh, we'll put, I don't know, 10 million on the price. And Barca came, oh, we'll make another bid then.
Yeah.
That was probably where Barca lost their identity in terms of squad building. It's like, that's not what they're about, is it? That's, but by all means, sign the odd good player here or there. But, they lost their way with chasing Coutinho. Let's move on to the game, and the so 5-2 win, and a convincing 5-2 win. I know Rafinha got a hat trick, Terry, but João Cancelo needs a bit of mention. When he signed, we were saying, oh, fair enough. They
He's
sort
a
of need a
body.
yeah, they need a player. He's all right. They knew him, etc. It made sense, but
It's turning into being really good. To the extent, I think at the moment he plays above Alejandro Balde at left back. Xavi Espart came in at right back because it was a little bit of a problem. We had Balde and Koundé injured for Barcelona at the same time. So that was a problem for them. But Cancelo was fielding at left back. He obviously is a right back, but two-footed, and Xabi Espart came in at the weekend. So again, like Elche, Sevilla were not as obliging because they put their foot in more, they competed more, they were more aggressive than Elche. But giving away two early penalties was always going to be an uphill task from then on. To the extent both goals that Sevilla scored, they didn't celebrate. They were, and you know, play Kudelj mentioned after the game that Barcelona were just too good for them. Almeida said a similar thing as well, and it's there were weaknesses and faults in Barcelona's game, but it's incredible how many goals they score at home. I mean, it's another five. I mean, they are. It's getting now to the stage you have to get three goals at away to Barcelona to get have a chance of getting a draw. So Rafinha needed this game. I criticised him heavily in the previous game, the game against Newcastle. He was awful. He couldn't put a foot right. And I can say that because we all know how good he is. So when he's suddenly not able to pass a ball and not working as hard as he has been, or not able to work as hard as he has been in the past, it came as a shock. And he's an elite footballer, but he's not that super elite where confidence doesn't play a part in the game, like Messi, Ronaldo, and one or two others. They confidence is. It doesn't matter to them. It's beyond them. They don't need it. They've got immaculate confidence in everything they do. So he's that next level down, and he still needs confidence. Lewandowski still needs confidence. I mean, he's gone over a decade without needing it, but suddenly he looks short of confidence. And Rafinha needed this game, and two penalties. The third goal was slightly fortunate, gets a deflection. But that will give a massive boost, and I do expect now that to have an impact on his form for the rest of the season, which is the most important stage of the season for big teams in Europe that are chasing titles and the Champions League.
And a big game for them in the Champions League. Theo Walcott's wise words about Real Madrid finishing eighth in the Premier League. Well, Newcastle are ninth. Barcelona they've got a game on their hand. I know, as you say, they've won every game in La Liga at home. But Newcastle, they rested midfielders at the weekend. You know that they will put a lot of physical, intense pressure. Well,
Yes.
they should. They should. They shouldn't sit and try and defend. Should they? They should put a lot of pressure on Newcastle. But they've also got pace on Barcelona. They've also got pace to hit them on the break as well. So Newcastle will provide a proper challenge to Barcelona.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and you know, Barcelona were poor in the first half. Now, whether that was because they were poor or because Newcastle played well and stopped them playing, so it's a different game this one though. And the fact that Lamine Yamal equalised with a penalty just before the final whistle would have been a blow to Newcastle. And I got why they were going for the second goal. They were on top. They were the better team. It was only half time. It's not just about hanging on to a famous victory at home and then getting pumped it in 2 or 3 nil in the second leg. They had a chance to sort of reinforce their better performance than Barcelona in the first leg. It's just hard to go against Barcelona at home. I mean, they are really good and they score loads of goals. Newcastle might score a goal or two, but it's possible that Barcelona get three or four. So it's going to be, yeah, it's one of the many games this weekend that's going to be worth watching.
Yes. Well, the other one, of course, Atletico have to defend that 5-2 lead against mighty Tottenham Hotspur, who are back, probably too late to qualify for the Europa League, Terry. But anyway, let's do this game first, and this whole incident that because I didn't watch this game live, I just saw highlights. I didn't really understand what had happened.
I was doing it live and I still didn't understand. I didn't understand what was happening.
Yeah, it's actually outrageous what Abkar did, because it's one of these ones where we sort of think, oh, that's a bit funny. It's basically, it's a sexual assault. If you did that to someone in the street, you get arrested for it. Because he basically grabbed his penis. That's what he did. He grabbed. There was a lot going on, wasn't there, with Sorloth? And then and then, but that he did. He gave him a squeeze. Vinnie Jones, Gazza.
It was, he was at it all the game. I mean, this is the 55th minute. He was at it from the first minute, trying to wind up Sorloth. And I did joke on two or three occasions that Sorloth just threw him on the ground because there was a part of play acting from Abkar. He was riling up Sorloth. And then when Sorloth reacted, he was throwing himself on the floor two or three times he did it. So this was continuing right from the first moments of the game. If I go through the sequence of events, we were commentating off tube, and we didn't know VAR was getting involved in anything. All of a sudden, VAR get involved, and we're thinking, "Oh, well, what is this?" And they showed the coverage. The director showed a coverage of a challenge from Nahuel Molina, which could have been a red card. It's a lunge. He catches him with his studs on the foot, around the ankle. It's one of those where you're thinking, "Well, he's not meant it." It's a tiny fraction late. He's caught the player. If the referee looks at this, and we're describing it, this could be a red card if, you know, we've seen him given for this. And then next minute we saw a blurred vision of Sorloth throwing Abkar, literally throwing him on the ground. And we went, oh, this is what they're looking at as well. We don't know if they were looking at both incidents. And it was hard to see what had happened. You see a little pull of the shirt and then and Sorloth just reacting and throwing him on the ground. So we're led to believe that Sorloth was the player in danger of getting red. Then the cards are shown and you're thinking, well, what's Abkar done? And Sorloth got a yellow, and you're thinking, well, sure, it should be the other way around if Sorloth's thrown him to the ground. And then we got an angle a little bit later, I have to be honest, of what Abkar did. And no wonder Sorloth literally picked him up and held him, didn't they? Threw him. And it was, yeah, and Sorloth was fortunate after that as well. He was on the rampage down the right wing. He was full of anger. He'd been angry for most of the game. A player is Zaid Romero was holding on to him and trying to pull him back, and Sola threw his arm out to get rid of the player that was trying to pull him down, and his arm did catch him, and Zaid Romero went down. The referee booked the Getafe player. I'm not sure if he booked him for play acting or for the pull and the initial attempt to try and stop Sola getting away from him. And then Simeone had to take, and there was blood on the face of Romero, so he wasn't acting. And Sorloth had to take an early bath because Simeone had to replace him. So it was 10 changes made by Atletico. Mark Pirbill, the only one that played against Spurs, played in this, is the only one that played in this game, and it's still a really good team. It just goes to show how strong their squad is and how big it is. So you got Musa in goal. Oblak was injured. You got Molina, a right back, who scored an incredible goal. They started with Mark Pirbill and Jose Jimenez at centre back, Clement Longley left back, Nico Gonzalez, Obed Vargas, who was really good. Recent signing, Koke, Thiago Almada, Baena and Solov, and that's their reserves. So it's still a source of frustration that they're trailing Barcelona by 13 points, I think.
Yeah, but they haven't been in the title race.
Yeah. But they could be a force to be reckoned with, and it's going to be tough for Spurs to turn it around. It was tough in this game. Hetafe, they were brilliant. I mean, Abkar, exception, of course. The rest of them worked hard. They were down to 10 men, and they nearly scored and equalised on a couple of occasions. It didn't look like 11 versus 10. And Hetafe were everything you'd expect them to be. And in the end, Simeone only came on. Marcus Llorente had to go on. Griezmann had to go on. Lookman and Julian Alvarez to see home the game and get the 3 points. So, tough match. It wasn't an easy game, but Simeone, boosted by the fact he could rest the starting 11, pretty much all of them, that will play against Spurs.
Mm-hmm. Right, so I'm not going to make you relive the whole of that Champions League, the first 20 minutes of that Champions League game, but you did say you were going to keep an eye on the sleepy pitch, Terry.
Yeah, they did, all over the place again.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it is an issue. And they moaned about the pitch again at the end of the game, the Atleti players. So I wish they would come out and tell us specifically what the issue is with the pitch, rather than just this pitch is it's not good enough. Now, it was both teams slipping again. So there is a slippy pitch. I'd like to know specifically from the Atleti players whether they're used to it and don't slip as much as the opposition. But players were falling over again.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that was wrong with Spurs, you see, the wrong footwear. Apart from that, everything in the garden is rosy.
Yeah, everything's fine. Anyway, it's not a Premier League podcast, so we're not gonna dissect Spurs' problems again. Let's move on. So we now there are a couple of games in the European kind of zone. Shall we do those actually? So Real Sociedad won again. And this time Osasuna were their victims, Guedes with a couple of lovely finishes, Oyarzabal with a penalty. The improvement, the bounce is carrying on for Real Sociedad.
Yeah, they just slipped up a touch, qualifying for the final of the Copa del Rey with a couple of the semi-finals against Athletic Club, got in the way of their momentum in La Liga, but they were really good in this game. Guedes is... there can't be too many players that hit a ball cleaner than he does. This is one with the right foot, one with the left foot. Flimsy penalty given to Real Sociedad in the first place. And then a wonderful goal from Victor Munoz. We did see some good goals this weekend. He gets a wonderful strike. But it was a consolation. And Real Sociedad are able to move onwards and upwards. And their challenge for Europe is genuine now. They're in that position. They're big favourites, I think.
Yeah. And they might end up with a fifth Champions League place in La Liga. We'll see. I mean, they weren't at the end of the group stage because, you know, some teams have done badly in the group stage. But, I don't know how, if it's weighted towards the end of the season. Obviously, the bulk of the games are gone now, aren't they? So who knows? Betis won, Celta Vigo won. So Celta Vigo, they got away with it. These are both in Europe, aren't they? And yeah, we're a bit in Europe, in truth. I've never said Jutkla. I never quite know how to say his name.
Jutkla.
Anyway, so if anyone
gets a lucky goal in this one, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Goalkeeper Alvaro Valles. Made a couple of mistakes lately. They have three goalkeepers, Betis, and over the course of the season, he's the number one choice. Paul Lopez is second, Adrian third, but he's made a couple of mistakes recently, which is unlike him. And Betis are slipping up, which is unlike them. They're stuttering. So they're fifth, 44 points. They were clear at one stage. I mean, we would talk about them catching Villarreal and Atletico, but their form is the stuttering form at the moment.
Yeah.
And likewise, this looked like two teams that played on Thursday night. They weren't at their best in this game.
Yeah.
But Hector Bellerin scored a lovely goal.
Yeah, first goal in La Liga for them.
didn't. Yeah.
Oh, I heard on the
Yeah.
commentary.
Yeah.
Right, let's go. Shall we? Let's do Alaves versus Villarreal, and that'll take us into the rest of the relegation games. So Villarreal, a 98th minute goal, which was an absolute sickener, isn't it, for Alaves. Now, what do you think? I'll give you the stats. Right. So most of the highlights of this game, again, I've only watched the highlights, are Alaves on the attack, right? Do you want the stat? Zero shots on target in the game.
No. Yeah, because the
Yeah.
goal was a
There's an own goal, isn't it?
freak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their XG, 0.22, which is almost nothing. Which is,
Yeah.
so they had positions in the game, but didn't that created almost no chance at all, despite looking like they were creating chances.
And playing two up front.
Yeah.
The final ball was lacking, that was clear. There's plenty of endeavour. He's a fortunate freak goal. I think it's Lucas Boyer backheels it, isn't it? And it's a cutback almost. And Raphimarin could have done better than just head it into the goal. I mean, just duck. That would have been one solution. Another one would be to head it wide of the goal. So it really surprised me when that goes in. Then they're just fighting tooth and nail just to cling on to the one goal win. It's so anxious in that stadium, like all the teams that are battling against relegation. And Kiko Sanchez Flores makes a valid point. He said 18 minutes added on for a game of football where Nahuel Tanaglia had cramped twice in the second half. Other than that, substitutions. There was only one goal scored up until that time. 18 minutes is where they found that, I don't know. And when you're battling against relegation and you've got a one goal lead and added on 9 minutes at the end, which turned into 10. It's never happened in my playing and coaching career. It must be so deflating when you're hanging on. You know it's 90 minutes, and then you got another 10 to go. You think, oh, what? And they had the chance, Alaves. They broke down the left really prior to the goal. I think it was Rybak who's running down the left flank. He carries the ball right down towards the final third. It's the 98th minute. It's running out of time. You're thinking, you've done well there. Keep hold of the ball. Not too many players were keen in getting up in support. They weren't looking for another goal. And I'm thinking, hold on to the ball, twist and turn, get knocked over. That wins the game. Then he crossed it, and there's no one there. Then Villarreal sweep up their end of the pitch, put a cross in from left to right. It should have been cleared. It wasn't. I think a young sub came on for his debut by Esteros, and he allows Pepe to cut inside. And I mean, it's a
Good goal.
marvellous finish. Yeah,
Yeah.
really good goal. And
Yeah.
that just. So, Kike Sanchez Flores, yeah, unlucky. The first two games, he's lost points right at the death against Valencia and now against Villarreal.
Yeah, I've got a dilemma about his 18 minutes because he said barbaric, didn't he? Was the word he
Well, I
used.
think it was pouring down with rain. It was a tough, they really worked hard.
Yeah, but you can't stop a game.
But no, but I think that's a long time to find when there's no obvious.
I
One player
do.
going down twice with cramp was not an attempt to time waste. Add time on for that. Substitutions, yes. There hadn't been another goal in the second half. So then suddenly nine, it was like, oh, I'm a neutral and I'm sitting there watching. Where have they got nine from?
I'm generally against people talk about a timekeeper in football, like you
Yeah.
get in futsal and in basketball. I think that's I don't want that because
No.
those games annoy me because there's
Yeah.
too much stopping, and the clock never goes down. But there are certain games I watch in La Liga where I think, you know what, I wouldn't mind an independent timekeeper in this because
Yeah.
you don't know. And what I would like now is if the referees, someone in the referees group, watches this game back and identifies where that
Exactly.
nine came from.
Yeah.
So you actually
Yeah.
do, and then they need to improve their practice. I don't intend to do that. Life's too short to watch people getting treated for cramp.
Yeah.
But if it is, because the problem is you do see teams waste time and they get away with it, and it's a
Yeah,
real problem in La
we
Liga.
do. There wasn't anything obvious in this one apart from Tenaglia going down twice. I mean, he went down once, he came back on, he went down again. Yeah, that was an issue. By all means, add on time for that. I mean, we're talking about a game on the Friday night that kicked off at 9 o'clock. And do we want, and do supporters want, I know there's the odd game where they want the extra 10 minutes because their team are losing and putting the pressure on, but then there's games where they're winning 1-0 and they don't want the extra 10 minutes. But in general, do you want to go to a game of football thinking, well, it's an hour and a half, 15 minutes added on, 15 minutes for half time, some sort of idea when the game ends, and then suddenly you get there and it's you're travelling home at the gone 11 o'clock, quarter past 11.
But
It's
also, if I pay my money to watch a football match, I want 90 minutes for it. I don't want 72.
but then if
But
we genuinely want 90 minutes playing time, the game's going to be 3 hours long.
Or they'd
That's
have
the
to slow
problem.
down because
Goal kicks, corners,
part of the
throw-ins,
whole.
stop, 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 ball in play. It's we're never going to get that. So I
Because
get the balance. I get the added on.
you.
My solution to it is referees stopping the game.
Oh, the referees waste time. Yeah, the
Yeah,
referees are the worst time
stop.
waster in
Keep
football.
blowing up for a free kick and this and that and
But if you go
keep
to a
the game
time,
flowing if you can.
if you go to a timekeeper, you it's going to take like VAR. We haven't got the hang of VAR yet after all these years. It's going to ruin because no one knows like how long to get for a throw in. There's no what it's 6 seconds or a
We don't
minute.
know the goal. We haven't seen the goalkeeper rule issued, have we?
I've seen a couple. I think that's worked. Attacking free kick. How long have you got for that? For 30 seconds? Sometimes you see it
Sometimes
lasts
you
a
get
minute.
penalised for taking it too quick.
The refs, again, the refs, worst time wasters in football. Because they always want support, pace it out, and he wants to get his foam down and all of this. Can't even get on with it.
So I do have sympathy for and it's a manager that's just come back into football and perhaps he's seen a difference and thought, where's that 9 minutes in the se 9 minutes in the first, nine in the second? Where's that come from? No major VAR checks, nothing like that. So yeah, it's a point. A
Okay,
point for Alaves and a point for Villarreal.
let's practice what we preach and crack on. Mallorca beat Espanyol by 2 goals to 1. So that's it. It's the spoiler. That was the with the
11.
trailer, wasn't it? Yeah. So no win in 11 games. 4 points from 11 games.
So I'm looking at it now, same as Elchan. I'm looking 37 points, probably is going to be enough. And they might get draws that takes them to 40. That's probably going to be enough, but it's a drastic change from the second half. I
But
mean, they took the lead in
Mallorca,
this one against Mallorca.
And old Charles Pickles, they've been sent off in successive games, which is a good effort, isn't it?
And he's unlucky. It's not intended, but it's one of those clear when you see the replay, you think he's going to go for that. He scored an interesting goal, an interesting finish, puts them 1-0 up. Pablo Torre gets an even more interesting goal. No idea how that goes in. And Sammy Costa with a lovely goal. Lovely take, lovely finish. Really good player. Mallorca have loads of good players. Don't know what they're doing in the relegation battle this season. And this is a step in the right direction. A big win that drags in other teams above them. Goes above Elche to go out the relegation zone. And with the players they've got, I expect them to move onwards now.
Oviedo beating Valencia also opens up the relegation battle,
Yeah.
doesn't it?
I
One
mean,
nil
Oviedo
win.
won't go away. I mean, they've another goal disallowed as well. They won't go away. They're really good at the moment, Oviedo. So, yeah, that was a massive win. Disappointing from Valencia, though, I have to say. There's Corberan, just when you think they're going in the right direction. 13th, 32 points. They should be okay. I think they will be okay, but they're certainly not impressive at the moment. New players came in, but they're not getting playing time, which is weird. So yeah, issues at Valencia still, but there's going to be for the rest of the season. But I think they'll stay up.
And Girona beat Athletic Club by 3 goals to 0, which is not, they'll feel hard done by Athletic. If you believe her in XG, they're fourth if you look at XG differential Athletic. So this is not unique for them that they've come away with a game thinking, how do we not get something? How do we lose 3-0?
Yeah, and do you know what? And that's a fair assessment in this one. It looks a thrashing, doesn't it? Hugo Rincon scores the first goal. He's on loan from Athletic Club in the third minute. And then from then on, I mean, Girona, they weren't bad, but Athletic did create chances. They were throwing anything at it. Guruzeta should have scored. Gazzaniga goes down as probably man of the match for Girona. And then they concede, because they're so open at the end, they concede two relatively late goals. Unai somehow, again, missed kicks and it goes in to put them 2-0 up, and then a decent goal from Echeverri at the end to wrap it up. Definitely wasn't a 3-0 an Athletic, but an Athletic will be fine. Their race is Europe now. 10th, 35 points. They're 3 points beyond someone like Real Sociedad, who are in 7th. So that disappointing result for Athletic, but it wasn't a bad performance. But it's going to be a bit of a season for Athletic Club, isn't it?
Yeah, that's sort of
Unless
the
they
story.
can get a European spot and salvage something from it.
Yeah. So tonight, Rayo Vallecano versus Levante, which is another big one, isn't it? Two teams down the bottom end. We'll see with that. Tuesday is the Man City of Real Madrid second leg. And then Barca Newcastle is the early game, so don't get caught out on Wednesday. Early kick.
Thanks for the heads up there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And then Spurs Atleti, so you can watch them all. You don't have to have the all various devices going on at the same time, although I will because I'll be watching Championship as well. So enjoy those games. We'll come back with Patreons and discuss all of that. Patreon.com/LTEL if you want to join in. Doesn't cost a lot of money. And we get more of that than we get of any of the adverts that get played at the start of the show. And we'll see you all for a regular podcast next week. So sorry about the little interruption in the middle. And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.